2 Samuel chapter 8. After this, David struck the Philistines and subdued them. David took their mother city out of the hand of the Philistines. He struck Moab and measured them with the line, making them to lie down on the ground, and measured 2 lines to put to death and 1 line to keep alive. Well, do you think that was right for David to do that? I think that he had a too bloodthirsty attitude. I don't think God told him to do that. I just think he seemed to shed blood pretty easily. And if you remember, when David wants to build the temple, God does say no, because you've shed too much blood. Your son Solomon must do it. So I think he was rather too quick with taking the lives of his enemies. When Saul says, "I'll give you my daughter, you can marry her for 100 dead Philistines," he goes and kills 200. Well, they're all somebody's sons, all somebody's brother or son or father or whatever. I think his attitude was unnecessary. That's my view. So the Moabites became servants to David and brought tribute. David struck also Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his dominion at the river. David took from him 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. And David hamstrung all the chariot horses, but kept 100. Well, the law of Moses had said that the king of Israel was not to multiply horses to himself. And he thinks, well, yeah, I won't have most of them, but I'll just keep 100. Well, it's like saying, yeah, well, I sort of serve God, but yeah, I'll do my own thing. I'll just, I'll give God whatever percentage of obedience. And again, you see a weakness. Now, Solomon, his son, failed even more in that. It's rather like with women. David had loads of wives, quite a lot of wives, probably 15 of them. And you think, okay, so they had lots of wives in those days. But then Solomon, his son, had 1,000. He had, I think it was 600 wives and 400 concubines, like extra women. Well, that's ridiculous. So you see, once you allow yourself a bit of sin, then you end up, certainly your children will end up, doing many times worse than you. That's, I think, the lesson. So David put garrisons in Syria, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought tribute. And God gave victory to David wherever he went. David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. Well, again, was that quite right? Because Hadadezer means worshipper of the sun, and his big gold shields represented his sun god. And David takes a liking to these and brings them to Jerusalem. And later on you read that the Israelites worship the sun instead of worshipping God. So I think if he had not done that, that might not have happened. When Tui, king of Hamath, heard that David had struck all the army of Hadadezer, then he sent Joram, his son, to David to greet him and bless him, because he'd fought against Hadadezer, because Hadadezer had wars with Tui. Joram brought with him vessels of silver, gold, and brass. And King David also dedicated these to Yahweh. David made himself a name when he returned from smiting the Syrians in the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons in Edom. All over Edom he put garrisons, and the Edomites became servants to David. Yahweh gave victory to David wherever he went. David reigned over all Israel, and David executed justice and righteousness to all his people. Joab was over the army, Jehoshaphat was recorder, Zadok and Abimelech were priests, Seraiah was scribe, Benaiah was over the Kedathites, and David's sons were the chief ministers. If you look at those names, Joab and Zadok and them, these people had been faithful to David while he was in the wilderness, while he was being chased by King Saul, when it seemed that it was a hopeless case for him. And they'd been faithful to him in the wilderness years, and now God had made him king, now Saul's dead. Those who'd been faithful to him in the wilderness were the rulers in his kingdom. And so that's how it is with us. That if we're faithful to Jesus now, in the wilderness years, as it were, when it seems stupid to give your life to God and Jesus, then when Jesus comes back, we will be the rulers in his kingdom.